This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good afternoon, dear friends. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abam to the Kollel Agudat Perka Monday afternoon National Shir. Welcome, everyone. Before we begin, I want to make sure everybody knows about the new Sefer, Tzipisel Yeshua, Yearning for Redemption. Now we're holding in the Shiva Dinechemta, in the 7 weeks of consolation. And the consolation is specifically to yearn for the Geula and await the redemption. So go to artscroll.com or go to your closest Svarim store and make sure you take advantage of this time of the year. We have an amazing topic tonight. We have a very important topic. This is a subject you've all been waiting for. You didn't realize you've been waiting for it, but that's what I'm here to share with you. This is a very important topic. Today we're going to talk about jokes. We're going to learn about jokes. And don't tell me you know about jokes. You don't know about jokes. You don't know enough about it, that's for sure. Because considering some of the jokes that I've been hearing lately, I think everyone needs to brush up on the topic of jokes. Yeah, you heard correctly. In order to understand what a joke is and what the role of a joke is, we have to know what the source of a joke is. Don't go anywhere. The pasuk says like this: the opening pasuk in Parshas Ekev, "V'haya Ekev Tishmeun," and it will be Ekev. The targum says Chalaf, reward. Eis hamishpatim ha'ela u'shmartem ve'asisem ha'isam v'shamar Hashem lekecha lechas habris v'yasachesed asher nishba la'avisecha. So the pasuk is saying that this will be the reward for the mitzvahs. But the million-dollar question is, don't you remember the last pasuk of Parshas Va'eschanan articulated there is no reward for mitzvahs in this world? The pasuk says, Hayahim la'asoysam, today to do. And Rashi brings down from the Gemara in Erevin, Hayahim la'asoysam ulamachar lekabel scharam, because schara b'hayam aleka, there's no reward in this world. You can't expect to be rewarded in this world. So, you know, it's one thing to have a pasuk tell us about the reward for mitzvahs. It's another thing for that pasuk to be following immediately after the pasuk that says we're not rewarded in this world for mitzvahs. The last pasuk of Ekev was Hayoim la'asoysam. And now all of a sudden, immediately in the next breath, it says V'haya Ekev Tishmon, and it will be the reward for listening to the Torah. So that's the question. Are we rewarded in this world for mitzvahs, or are we not rewarded for mitzvahs? So this is addressed by none other than the Chidar. Ga'oinu Zeinu, Reb Chaim Yosef David Azulai. Reb Chaim Yosef David Azulai says that the Kadmoinim already wonder, how could the Torah be telling us about the reward for mitzvahs in the same breath, Toich Kedei Dibor, of the Pasuk, Hayoim la'asoysam. It says Hayoim la'asoysam ulamach lekabel scharam, and then it talks about ubeirach privit necha friad masecha. That implies that certainly there will be reward. Says the Chida, there is no question. Schara b'hayam aleka. Hayoim la'asoysam umachar lekabel scharam. There is no reward for mitzvahs in this world. However, v'haya. Ein v'haya el alashon simcha. We know vayehi is a lashon sar. Vayehi b'me'ach ha'shverosh. Vayehi is a lashon sar. V'haya is a lashon of simcha. Hayoim la'asoysam. You get reward for, you don't get rewarded for doing mitzvahs in this world. However, v'haya, the simcha that you engender when you perform a mitzvah, that ekev tishma'on, that you're rewarded for. You're not rewarded for the mitzvah itself. Don't expect to be rewarded for putting on tefillin in this world, or for learning Torah, or for doing chesed. But v'haya, the simcha that you arouse when you do a mitzvah, ekev tishma'on, that you are rewarded for in this world. You see, the mitzvah itself is the Dvar Hashem, and therefore, there is nothing in this finite world that Hashem could offer us to repay us in this world. But v'haya, the input, what we input into the mitzvahs, v'haya, the simcha that we put into the mitzvah, that is ekev tishma'on, that we are rewarded for in this world. So we know the importance of simcha from the opening pasuk in this week's parsha. The Gemara in Shabbos says on Naflamin Amud Beis, you know, there's a big contradiction. Is simcha good or is simcha not good? Even though many people like to sing a song, Mitzvah Gedahila Liyais B'Simcha, where does it say that? It does not say that in Chazal. Nowhere in Chazal does it say there's a mitzvah to be B'Simcha Tamid. Chazal say, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha. David HaMelech says, we serve Hashem in joy. On the other hand, Shlomo HaMelech says, V'simcha mazu aysa, what is the purpose of simcha? So the Gemara says in Shabbos, V'shibachti ani es ha-simcha, zu simcha shel mitzvah. I praise simcha, that is the simcha of performing a mitzvah. U'l'simcha mazu zo aysa, zu simcha she'ena shel mitzvah. Simcha v'mitzvah is praiseworthy. Discretionary simcha does not have value. L'lamedcha she'en shechina shoira lo'y mitoich atzvus v'lo'y mitoich atzlus v'lo'y mitoich schoik v'lo'y mitoich kalus roish v'lo'y mitoich sicha v'lo'y mitoich dvarim v'telim ela mitoich devar simcha shel mitzvah. This teaches us the Shechina does not dwell not from sadness, not from laziness, not from levity, not from lightheadedness, not from idle conversation, not from empty words. Only mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. Shenemar v'yata kechuli menagen. And now take for me a musician. V'haya kenagen ha-menagen. And it will be when the musician plays v'atihi alav ruach Hashem. Actually, the pasuk says v'atihi alav yad Hashem. And I know what you're thinking, that's not how the song sings it. Well, we'll go with Shlomo HaMelech on this one, okay? Shlomo HaMelech says, V'atihi alav yad Hashem. Amar Rav Yehuda, v'chein ledvar halacha. Not only for the Shechina do you need simcha, to learn halacha you need simcha. Amar Rava, v'chein lechaloim toiv. Also to have a good dream, you need simcha. You know, don't think you could just go to sleep and expect to have a good dream where you're lying there on a hammock and you're eating grapes and you're drinking lemonade. My holy brother is showing the book. Very good. Don't think that you could just have good dreams. If you want to have good dreams, you need to have joy. You need to go to sleep in a good mood. If you want to dream about fluffy teddy bears, you have to make sure you go to sleep in a good mood. But if you go to sleep in a rotten mood, I don't know, I'm afraid to tell you what kind of dreams you might have. So there are three things in this world you need happiness for. Number one, the Shechina. Number two, Halacha. And number two, Chaloim Toiv. In fact, the Ben Yehoyada says, the word simcha is Rashi Tevois, the three things you need simcha for. Simcha stands for Shechina, Mem Ches Mare Chaloim, Hey Halacha. All of those three things need simcha. Simcha is Rashi Tevois. It stands for Shechina, Mare Chaloim, Halacha. That's what you need simcha for. So the Gemara asks, really? Is simcha good? You need simcha to learn? But the Gemara says, V'amar Rav Gida Amar Rav, Kol Tamid Chacham Sheyoyshev Lifnei Rabbi, Ve'ein Sifsoysav Noitfois Mor Tichvena. Any student who sits before the rabbi and his lips are not dripping with dread will be burnt. Shanemar Sifsoysav Shoyshanim Noitfois mar oiver, al tikri mar oiver, ela mar oiver, al tikri shoishanim, ela sheshoinim. That we darshan the pasuk, sifsoisav shoishanim. The lips of those who learn, noitfois mar, need to be dripping with awe. How could you say learning needs simcha, but a Talmud needs to sit in front of the Rebbe with fear and awe and trepidation? Says the Gemara, loy kasha, ha b'rabba v'ha b'talmud. It depends who. The Rebbe needs to be joyous. The Rebbe needs to come in with a big smile, with a happy word, with simcha. The students need to be scared out of their living daylights. Okay? So when you sit in front of your Rebbe, you need to be scared out of your living daylights. The Rebbe should be happy. The student should be frightened. But then the Gemara says, no, Both are talking about the Rebbe. V'loy kasha. Hamakami deliftach halabasar depasach. It depends when. Before you start learning, you should be joyous. Once you start learning, you learn be'ema uvayira. Ki hadarabba, just like Rabba. Mekame depasach luhu l'rabbanan. Before he would begin learning with Rabbanan, Amar milsa debdichusa. He said a light comment, a joke. Ubadchi Rabbanan. And the rabbis laughed. By the way, that's the bigger chiddush. The fact that the rabbi said a joke, that's not such a lot of rabbis say jokes. The fact that it was a funny joke, that's a big chiddush. Not every rabbi could say a funny joke. Many rabbis try to say jokes. Doesn't mean anyone laughs. Sometimes the people stare at him. They don't know if that was a joke or a hesped. They're not sure what the rabbi meant. But the Gemara says the rabbi should start off with a joke, but l'soif, in the end, Yosef be'imasa u'pasach b'shmaitza. In the end, they would sit in fear and he would open up the learning. So the Gemara says that before one starts learning, it's appropriate to start with milsa dibdichusa, and once you get going, you learn be'ema uvayira. And who's the paragon of this model? Rabba. So the first question I was wondering about is why do Chazal tell us that the example of someone who started off shir with a good joke was Rabba? Why of all the Amoraim is Rabba held up as the Amora who would start off with Milsa Dibdichusa? You know, we don't find Rabbi Akiva started with a joke. When Rabbi Akiva's students were falling asleep, he told them a whole Agadata, a whole Medrash that Esther ruled over 127 Medinois in the merit of Sarah's 127 righteous years. Why is Rabba held up as the paragon of someone who would say a joke? One thing we know is Rabba lived a very tragic life. The Gemara tells us in Ma'id Katan Daf Chavches, Rav Chisda Chaya Tishin V'Tartin Shnin. Rav Chisda lived 92 years. Rabba Chaya Arba'in. Rabba only lived 40 years. Bei Rav Chisda Shitin Hiluli. By Rav Chisda there were 60 weddings. Bei Rabba Shitin Tichli. By Rabba there were 60 funerals. Bei Rav Chisda Smida Lekalbi V'loy Misbay. By Rav Chisda they were able to feed fine flour to the dogs even. By Rabba they couldn't even feed the people with animal food. So Rabba lived a very short life. Rabba lived a very tragic life. Rabba lived in poverty. Moreover, Rabba was not well liked. The Gemara says in Shabbos Kufnun Gimel, Amar le Abaye le Rabba kugoin mar desanu le kulu pumpadisai. Everyone in Pumpadisa hated Rabba. Rabba was a rabbi. What do you expect? You know, people would be checking their phones in the middle of davening, and Rabba would say, what are you doing? You're not to bring a phone into a shul. This is not a bar. It's a Beis HaKnesses. People would come in with like a 64-ounce cup of coffee, and they would start drinking in the middle of davening. And the Gemara says Rabba was not well-liked. The Gemara, I looked up some of the history of Rabba besides this Gemara in Ma'id Katan. The Gemara in Erevin says he didn't even have a loaf of bread to make an Erev. The Gemara in Gittin says that Rabba was very distressed about his debt, and because he was not well liked, they were malshin on Rabba, and it caused his untimely death. Look in Bav Metzia. So maybe Rabba, because of his difficult life, in order for him to put himself in the proper frame of mind to be able to learn Torah, he would first start off with Milsa Dibdichusa in order to put himself in the right frame of mind. We once learned, when we were preparing about the Balei HaTosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, who was very wealthy, before he would learn, he would count his money. He was very wealthy, and after he would count his money, he would say, Toivli Toiras Picha! Good, delicious is the learning of my mouth. May Alfei Zahav Kesef. After counting all my thousands of silver and gold. So we see that if need be, especially someone like Rabba, Rabba would begin with a joke. But really what I was thinking about is what kind of jokes did Rabba make? Rabbah would come, knock, knock. Who's there? Rabbah. Rabbah who? I mean, come on. The Rabbah said knock, knock jokes. Rabbah said, an Amora, a priest, and walked into a... How many Amoram does it take to change a light bulb? Well, what kind of jokes did Rabbah make? What were these Milsa Dibdichusa? So the Pnei Yeshua, I remember I was once looking into this topic and someone suggested, well, look in the Hakdamos of Svarim. Maybe in the Psicha of the Sefer, it will speak about the inyan of starting a shir, but Milsa Dibdichusa. Sure enough, in the Holy Sefer of the Pnei Yeshua, he discusses this practice of Rabbah, that Rabbah, before he would begin a shir, he would give a Milsa Dibdichusa. And the Pnei Yeshua says it's bizarre to learn this Gemara simply, that Rabbah would say a joke. A joke is muksa mehadas. It should be moved away from any intelligent person. What, Rabbah made a joke? And the Gemara, in the Cheshbon of the Gemara, can't mean he actually made a joke, because it's going on, Ein Shechina Shaira, Loi mi toich schoik, veloi mi toich kalos roish, veloi mi toich sicha, veloi mi toich dvarim betelim. So Gemara says, Simcha shel mitzvah is permitted, but schoik and kalos roish, Ein Ashechina Shaira, only Simcha shel mitzvah. And the Gemara says, V'chein l'dvar halacha, that you need Simcha shel mitzvah. And the Gemara says, not true. And the Gemara says, no, before you start, you need Simcha shel mitzvah. And that's what the Milsa d'b'dichusa is. You can't say Milsa d'b'dichusa is knock-knock jokes. Or, why did the chicken cross the road? Because the Gemara says, you can't start with Schoik and Kalas Roish. Milsa d'b'dichusa must mean Simcha shel mitzvah. So therefore the Pnei Yeshua says, you have to say Milsa d'b'dichusa is one of two things. One approach is, Rabbah would start the shir with like a Torah riddle to sharpen the minds of the Talmidim. It wasn't a joke. It wasn't, what do you do when you cross a zebra? None of that. None of that nonsense. It was like a lechidud ba'alma, like the Gemara finds, like we find in many places, by Rabbah himself. It says, V'Rabbah lechidudei la'abayehu da'aved. Many times in Shas, the Gemara says, Rabbah was sharpening the mind of Abaye. And that's all before he began to actually learn. But once the shir began, they would sit be'em ovayira, and they would learn, la'asuke shmaita aliba de'hochasa. So Milsa d'b'lichusa is not some kind of, 101 jokes for Amoraim. It was a riddle to sharpen the minds of the Talmidim. Or, says the Pnei Yeshua, it was Milsa d'b'dichusa refers to Agadata. Agadata causes the heart to rejoice. It whets one's appetite for learning. So the Pnei Yeshua learns Milsa d'b'dichusa is not joke, it's either a riddle or it's Divrei Agadata. Likewise, in the Tshuva Me'ava of Rabbi Elazar Flakels, he brings Kamaskil Yishboit B'tzedek, any intelligent person, will come to the just conclusion. Rava, who is the master, Rava was the master of the whole Shas, he didn't say jokes for people to laugh. You don't need people to laugh to learn. The Torah itself is Mesameach. The Pilpul is Mesameach. You don't need a laughter from an outside external source. The Tshuva Me'ava says what it means is that he would begin with Divrei Agadata and Divrei Musar to inflame the heart with Yiras Hashem. Otherwise, if they would just learn, then maybe they're learning for an intellectual pursuit, intellectual stimulation. So now by Rabbah beginning with Divrei Agadata, this will ensure that everyone will learn L'shem Shamayim. This way, when they learn Dvar Halacha, they will do so with fear of God, they will do so with Ema and Yira, and not just to intellectual gymnastics. So the Milsa d'b'dichusa is like Divrei Musar. Just like Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech, how does he begin Mishlei? He says, Mishlei Shlomo ben David, La Das Chachma u'musar lahavin imrei bina. If you want to know wisdom, you need to know chachma and musar to understand bina. How? Lakachas musar. First you learn musar, and you inspire your heart, you set your heart aflame in Yiras Shamayim, and then you could learn Torah. So the approach of the Pnei Yeshua and the Reb Elazar Flackels, Pnei Yeshua says either it was a riddle or it's some form of Divrei Agadata. One of the great old-time poskim, we were recently at his kever in Lithuania, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, buried in Kovna, in his Hakdama to the Eim Yitzchak, he also learns that the idea that is expressed in the Gemara and Shabbos on Daf Lamed Amud Beis to begin with Divrei Milsa Dibdichusa, he says that he's seen many great Mechabrim whose Torah has been widespread all over the world before they proceed to uncover the world of Halacha and to swim in the Yama Talmud. They first offer Chidushei Agadata, like we find in the Gemara and Shabbos. That means also Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan understands that the inyan of Milsa Dibdichusa, these are not jokes, these are not humorous teachings, it's Agadata. However, interestingly, Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Dibreis Moshe, he seems to learn simply that even Simcha Shel Rishus Mamish, where there's no obligation to be happy, there's no, on a day that there's no specific mitzvah to be happy, if someone rejoices discretionarily, but he does it so that it should assist his performance of a mitzvah, that's also Simcha Shel Mitzvah. So in other words, even if somebody, it's a regular Monday, if somebody rejoices in order to be able to be in the right frame of mind to do mitzvahs, that discretionary simcha is Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Elisha said, "Sheyikchu loy menagein." There's no mitzvah to listen to music, but since he was trying to bring upon himself Hashras Hashchina, that's called Simcha Shel Mitzvah. That's what the Gemara in Shabbos says. See, what's Simcha Shel Mitzvah? Music. But there's no mitzvah to listen to music. But if it was being listened to in order to bring down the Shechina, that's called Simcha Shel Mitzvah. So any discretionary simcha that a person engages in order to perform the mitzvah, a person has to be mechaving his heart, that would be considered a mitzvah. So Rav Moshe says that when the Gemara talks about rejoicing or milsa dibdichusa before learning advar halacha, that Rabbah would say milsa dibdichusa, this milsa dibdichusa, it was not a riddle, it was not agarata, it was a humorous comment, it was something to make the Talmidim smile. Rav Moshe seems to learn this Gemara kipshutai, that it was some kind of humorous comment. Now I'm sure it wasn't a knock-knock joke. I remember, you know, my grandfather, his jokes were, how do you know you're not to go through a red light? He would say, the pasuk says, Vayoymer Edoim loy savar bi. Edoim said, don't cross me. So, you're not laughing. You have to develop a taste for Torah jokes, you know? So, but Rav Moshe learns that it was not Divrei Torah. It was humor, some form of discretionary humor. And it's permitted in order to, so to speak, open up the heart. The Sefer HaTanya also seems to understand that the purpose of the Milsa Dibdichusa is to open up the mind, to make the heart rejoice for Torah, for Avroida, that it needs to be Besimcha, like Rabbah would do to his Talmidim, that he would say Milsa Dibdichusa. Rav Pinchas Friedman, in his commentary to the Sefer Tanya, he writes that the idea of saying Milsa Dibdichusa comes from a klipa called Noiga. And this klipa could be ushered into Kedusha. Because when you say the joke to open up your mind and open up your heart, you're bringing it, you're giving it entrance to Kedusha. But if this is not your kavana, then you're bringing it back into the klipa. Okay. Now, what is the purpose of this joke? What is the function of the joke? Okay, the Tanya says, or Moshe explains, that it's lefakeach datai. It's to open up the mind and to make the heart rejoice. Because when the mind is open and the heart rejoices, it allows a person easier access to understand Torah. Rabbi Yonis and Ibishitz has a different take on this. What is the role of humor as a preparation for learning? So, Rabbi Yonis and Ibishitz says like this, you know, whenever we do a mitzvah, we always throw the satan a bone. We have to give shoychad to the satan. Because if we just go to do a mitzvah, the satan's going to interfere. He's going to accuse. He's going to try to create impediments in our performance of mitzvahs. So for instance, if we would just go ahead and put on tefillin, the satan would never let us. It's such a holy mitzvah. Putting the tefillin on our head is like the tzitz on the head of the Kohen Gadol. So what do? We give the satan a bone. There's a little hair that sticks out of the tefillin. The hair comes from an egel. And the satan says, oh, you're trying to remind Hashem about the chedo egel? Go ahead, go do the mitzvah. It doesn't bother me. In every mitzvah we do, we always throw the satan a bone. We have to throw him a bone. If we don't throw him a bone, he's going to always interfere. So how will the satan allow us to go learn Torah? If we're going to learn Torah, it changes the whole world. It destroys the Yetzirah. It's the kryptonite of the Yetzirah. How will the satan ever allow us to learn Torah? The answer is we have to throw him a bone. How do we throw him a bone? We make a little joke in the beginning of the shir. We tell the satan, you know, don't worry, we're just kibitzing around. We're just joking around. So the satan says, oh, leitzanus, go ahead. And then the satan backs off. We threw him his bone, and then we're able to learn. Rabbi Yonis and Ibishitz is mashma that this milsa de b'dichus is not just a riddle or agarata, but there's something in it that's an element of shoychad to the satan. By the way, the Bnei Yisaschar learns that even Hashem, you know, where do we learn this behavior from? Even Hashem, when he spoke to the Jewish people for the first time, he also gave us, so to speak, like a light comment and a light teaching to open up our minds and open up our hearts before he taught us the Torah. You know, the pasuk says, "Koy saymar lebeis Yaakov v'saged levnei Yisrael, atem re'isem yisoa ashar asisi l'mitzrayim, v'esa eschem al kanfei nesharim, I let you ride on the wings of eagles. V'ata yisoim shamaya tishmu." Now, Israel, listen to me. So the Bnei Yisaschar says, what do you mean, and now? What do you mean, now listen to me? As opposed to what? Says the Bnei Yisaschar, the Gemara tells us, Rabba, before he would begin to give a shir, he would say, Milsa Dibdichusa. The explanation is, when a person is sad, then his laziness and his sluggishness, it gets the better of him. But Simcha comes from Ruach, which allows a person to soar. It's dynamic. It allows a person to be elevated. So Hashem says, "Koyamar, koyseimar lebeis Yaakov, atem reisem asher asisi lemitzrayim. Remember what I did to Egypt? I carried you on the wings of eagles." So that's like a very joyous, happy message. Hashem says, "Remember, you were riding on the eagle. Remember, I carried you on the eagle." That's like the milsa dibdichusa that opens up the mind and widens the heart. And Hashem said, "Okay, now that I gave you this light, happy reminder, now va'ata im shamaya tishmu. Now you have to listen to me. Now that your heart is open, now it's time to open up to learn the Torah." So, one reason for the milsa dibdichusa, it's like shoychad l'satan. One is it opens up the mind to learn. You know, back to Rabbi Yonis and Ibishitz, according to this idea that it's, you know, shoychad l'satan, we have to give the satan a bone. You ever notice a very interesting phenomenon? You advertise, there's going to be a shir for men. And you come to the shir. Yeah, there's like a dozen people there, half a dozen people. Where is everybody? Reuven had a vart. There was a vart in Lakewood. Lakewood? The guy never wants to go to Lakewood. All of a sudden, he drove to Lakewood for a vart. Where's Shimon? Shimon went to an Upsharon. At night, an Upsharon? Nah, but he had to sweep up the hair that they cut during the morning, you know. Levi, where's Levi? Levi went to a Lechayim. But nobody got engaged. Yeah, right. It was Stam a Lechayim. He made a Lechayim, you know. And Yehuda, where did Yehuda go? He went to a wedding. Whose wedding? He doesn't know yet. He didn't know. He went to the wedding hall. He'll find out when he gets there. You know, you go to a men's shir, everyone has excuses. Where'd they go? A parlor meeting. The guy hasn't written a check in 70 years, but he went to the parlor meeting because it beats a shir. Everyone has a reason why not to be at the shir. But you give a woman shir, it's packed to the gills. There's standing room only. And they charge them money and they pay. You know? By men, you could pay them to learn. You have to pay the men to learn. Then maybe the women, you could charge them big bucks and it's packed. Every woman shir, it's packed to the gills. Why is that? Very simple reason. Because men are obligated to learn Torah. So the Satan doesn't want them to learn. So he does everything in his power to stop them. Because the learning of men is the most important mitzvah in the universe. But women don't have a chiyuv to learn. Their Talmud Torah is not as powerful. And therefore, when there's a woman shir and women want to learn, they pack the shul like sardines. That's a well-known phenomenon. So here's another difference, though. When men learn, the satan's going to interfere. So you got to throw the satan a bone. So the idea that you have to start with a joke is only by a men's shir. Women, the satan is not interfering. Women don't have to start with a joke. Do you ever go to a woman's shir and the lady starts with a joke? They never say jokes in ladies' shir. They're very, very serious. By men's shirim, the maggid shir has to joke like 90% of the shir has to be a joke. By the women's shir, it's intense, I'm telling you. They get it very intense. There are no jokes by the ladies' shirim. You know why? Because you don't have to throw the satan a bone. The satan's not interfering. So there's a beautiful Dvar Torah. Piha Pascha Bechachma. When she starts learning, it's with Torah, not with a joke. Why? V'Torah's chesed al Hashayna. Her Torah is a Torah of chesed. She doesn't have to learn. She's not obligated to learn. It's a discretionary. It's a free will offering. Piha, when she learns, Pascha b'chachma, she begins with chachma. Why? The Torah's chesed al Hashayna. It's because her Torah is a Torah's chesed. So I once met Rav Eitan Feiner, and he told me a Dvar Torah that he saw many years ago. I think he said he thinks it was from Rav Shlomo Kluger. I said, where? He couldn't find it. So that was a big challenge for me. Baruch Hashem, I was able to find it in an old edition of Rav Shlomo Kluger on the Siddur, and I was able to send it. And Rabbi Feiner was very happy. He shared with me the following Dvar Torah. Not only should you begin with a joke, you should also end with a joke. What's the remez? Smeichim b'tseisam v'sasim b'vayam. Not only sasim b'vayam, not only do you rejoice when you come, but it's smeichim b'tseisam. So now rabbis have to come up with good jokes for a shir. One to start and one to end. Now why is it out of order? Because it's really going on the malachim. Smeichim b'tseisam, they rejoice when they leave the shamayim to do the will of Hashem. And then v'sasim, they rejoice b'vayam when they come back at the end. What about in the middle? Oisim be'ema ritzayin kainam. Once you get past the opening joke, don't expect this to be stand-up comedy. Don't think you're going to turn on the Agra the Pirka. I'm going to just be, you know, ba-dum bum, one after another. No, it's one in the beginning and one in the end. During the main body of the shir, it's oisim be'ema ritzayin kainam. The learning has to be be'ema v'yar. You start with a joke, you end with a joke. What's the inyan, says Rabbi Shlomo Kluger? Because when a person has the merit to do a mitzvah, are you really doing the mitzvah? You're not really doing the mitzvah. Hashem controls the world. Hashem is moving your limbs. He's moving your mouth. He's giving you the ideas. What are you happy about? You're not even doing it. What you're happy about is that Hashem selected you. Why did Hashem select you? Because Megalgalin Zuchus Ayidei Zaka, you took the initiative and Hashem allowed you to do it. So therefore you start a mitzvah with happiness. The Malachim start their good deeds with happiness. While they're doing it, they realize it's all Hashem. And when they finish, they rejoice again that they were selected because of their initiative. That's Smechim Etzeisam V'sasim B'vayam. But while you're giving the shir, during the shir, it's Oisim Be'ema Ritzoin Kainam. So we know there's an idea, Leka Midi Deloy Ramizi Ba'iraisa. There's nothing that's not alluded to in the Torah. There's nothing that's not alluded to in the Torah. Where in the Torah is there a remez that before you start a shir, you should start with Milsa Debdichusa? So we already saw the B'nai Yisachar says, that's how Hashem spoke to us. He first told us that I gave you a ride on the eagles, and then Hashem said, now you have to observe the Torah. But says the holy Ben La'ashri, by the way, the Ben La'ashri was Chidushim written by a Mekobol, Reb Yitzchak HaKoyen Huberman, known as the Tzaddik of Ranana. He was a great Mekobol, and he wrote a skula on his Sefer that if you say over his Divrei Torah in his name, he's going to bail you out. I'm actually right now completing a collection of all the pieces of the Ben La'ashri that are user-friendly that people could say over. It's a three-volume set. I'm condensing it into one volume. Actually, I once said this over, and the Rav Tzvi Kushalevsky and his Rebbetzin embraced this sefer very much. Rav Tzvi Kushalevsky was careful to say it over daily, and he had a big miracle. He was zoicha to have a baby. He was in his high 80s. And one of the zechusim that he attributes it to, obviously, it's all chesed and rachamei shamayim. He very much attributes that this sefer also is a great power. And Tzvi Kushalevsky was kind enough to write me a letter for this sefer and to describe the miracle that happened to him. The Ben La'ashri writes, the remez that before you learn you should say Milsa Debdichusa is in the opening pasuk of this week's parasha. V'haya, as we said from the Chida, Ein v'haya ela lashon simcha. V'haya, when should you be besimcha? Ekev, ekev rashi tevois, koidem, esek, batayra. Before you engage in learning, V'haya, Ein v'haya ela simcha. When? Ekev, koidem, esek, Batoira, and if you do that, Tishma'un, you will understand the Mishpatim and Dinei Mamanois, even the difficult selections of Torah, Leka Midi Deloi Ramizi Ba'iraisa. If anyone wants to be Mishtatef in publication of the Sefer, you can let us know. But this is an important Yisoid in life. Sometimes, you know, you're not in a good frame of mind, and it's hard to learn properly. So before you learn, you need to start with a good joke. Whether you hold like the Pnei Yeshua, that it's a riddle, or like the Tshuva Me'ava, that it's Agadata, or like Rav Moshe, that it's a real, it's even a humorous comment. And then when the shir is over, then you could also end off with Milsa Debdichusa. So for today, I'm going to end off that now I don't want to take your time anymore because I know you're going to go now to help your wife clean the house and clean the dishes and sweep the floor and maybe even cook supper. So, you know, I'm just, anyway, that's the idea. Smeichim b'tzeisam, v'sasim b'vayam. But while you're learning, it's oisim be'ema ritzayin kainam. It's even merumas in the opening pasuk, v'haya ein v'haya ela lashon simcha when, ekev koidem esek b'tayra. And if you do that, tishma'un, then Hashem will help you understand es ha-mishpatim ha'ela, even the deep miktsois ha-tayra. Rabbi Isai, I hope you have a very happy rest of the day, and bracha v'atzlacha. I wish you all smeichim b'tzeisam. Have a good day, everyone. Kol tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.